الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنما كان قول المؤمنين إذا دعوا إلى الله ورسوله ليحكم بينهم أن يقولوا سمعنا وأطعنا وأولئك هم المفلحون وقال تعالى فلا وربك لا يؤمنون حتى يحكموك فيما شجر بينهم ثم لا يجدوا في أنفسهم حرجا مما قضيت ويسلموا تسليما وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات أما بعد My most honorable ulama, my friends in Islam, from the very beginning of Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Quran nurtured and molded the first students of Islam, the Sahaba, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His infinite mercy, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through His soft approach, molded the minds and the ideology of the Sahaba to always bow down and accept the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was a set answer for the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say to them that, do you know what this is? They would reply, Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam. Allah and His Rasul know better. Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know best. Times came upon their lives wherein they may have found some orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala difficult. Maybe difficult to practice upon. Maybe difficult to act upon. Maybe difficult to understand. But through the nurturing of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were always blessed to make the right choice and to say the right thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayat in the Quran, لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِنْ تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبْكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ That everything in this universe belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if people, meaning the Sahaba or anyone, any person, was to show what is inside of his heart, the thoughts that pass by inside of his heart, if he was to show them, make them apparent to people, or if he was to hide them, if you were to hide them within yourselves and no one was to come to know about these thoughts that you were to have or that you are having, يُحَاسِبْكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question you for this on the Day of Judgment. The apparent meaning of this ayah is this, that whatever thought was to pass by your mind, whether good, whether bad, whether destructive for your iman, whether something that you would be ashamed to say in front of someone else, any thought that was to pass by your mind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment will question you about this. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum became worried. They came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi narrates in his Sahih from Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu that Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that when this ayat was revealed, اشتدَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَىٰ أَصْحَابِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum found it very hard. They came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thumma baraku ala rukabi. They came and they sat down on their knees in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Faqalu, and they said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that ay Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kullifna min al a'mali ma nutiq, that we have been ordered to do such actions that we are capable of doing. As-salata wa-zakata wa-siyama wa-sadaqa, that you had ordered us to pray salah, to give zakah, to give sadaqah, to keep fasts. These are things that we can do. وَقَدْ أُنزِلَتْ عَلَيْكَ هَذِهِ الْآيَةُ, and this ayah has been revealed to you. وَلَا نُطِيقُهَا, but we cannot practice upon this. We are not able to, or we do not have the capability to fulfill the commandments that are given in this ayah. It is not possible for us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala questions us about every thought that will come past our minds. Now the Mufassirin are of two opinions with regards to this ayah. One opinion is this, that this ayah is not, or does not mean what is shown in the apparent, what I have mentioned. Rather, this ayah means that those thoughts which come across your mind that you have brought yourself with your own understanding, those thoughts will be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, those thoughts which are involuntary and you had nothing to do with these, and they suddenly passed by your heart, you did not entertain them and they went away, Allah will not question you about these. This is one opinion of the Mufassirin, that this ayah in reality means this. And that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also knew that this is what is meant by this ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But still, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to this opinion, knowing that this ayah does not mean what the Sahaba are understanding, he could have said to the Sahaba that, do not worry, it does not mean this. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to the Sahaba and he said to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, that أَتُرِيدُونَ أَن تَقُولُوا كَمَا قَالَ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابَيْنِ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, that do you wish to say exactly those words that the people given the book before you had said to their Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam? Do you wish to say the same thing? سَمِعْنَا وَعَصَيْنَا, that we have heard what you have said and we will not accept what you have said. We will not put into practice what you have said. بَلْ قُولُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا, say that we have heard the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we will respect and we will practice the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ, O Allah, forgive us and we are to return to you. Say this, O Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Do not say that we are not ready to accept. Do not say that we cannot understand. Do not say that we do not have the capability, because Allah will not order you to do something which is far away from your capability. Allah will always order you to do that which is within your capability. That is why this ayah ahead was revealed thereafter, that لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will only make you do such actions which you are capable to do so. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not force you to do that which you are not capable of doing. This was the ideology that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was trying to set in the minds of the Sahaba, that if there is something that you cannot understand, you are believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are believers in the fact that I am the Prophet, and I am the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once you have believed this, once you have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul, then you have no opportunity to question the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your duty is this, that you accept what Allah has said and you practice upon what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you to do so. That is why in another ayah of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that إِنَّمَا كَانَ قَوْلَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذَا دُعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَهُمْ, that the saying of the believers should only be when they are called to accept or fulfill the order of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of Allah and His Rasul, لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَهُمْ, أَن يَقُولُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا, that we say, سَمِعْنَا, we have heard the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and there is no question about it, we will follow. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ, these people are in reality the successful ones. This ideology is something that we need to set into our minds and into our hearts, and this is the topic which I would like to talk about today. To accept the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My respected brothers and elders, Islam and the Muslims have been through many trials and tribulations. Trials and tribulations of all kinds and from all directions.
whether they be trials of political oppression, whether this political oppression be from Muslim rulers or from non-Muslim rulers, whether it be military intervening in the countries of Islam, that the Muslims have been killed, or innocent Muslims have been killed, whether it be mental, philosophical, psychological aggression against the beliefs of Islam. The amount of trials and tribulations that Islam has been through, no other religion would have been able to bear these trials and these tribulations. They would have lost their identity. Allama Sayyid Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahimahullahu ta'ala, the great preacher, the great historian, who is the pride of the ulama of Deoband, he used to say, and he has written, that if these same trials were to have come about upon any other religion, then that religion would not have remained in existence until today. It would have lost its existence. It would not have remained until today. The trials, the same trials, if they had come upon another religion, that religion would not have remained. It is through the sheer mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Islam survives and Islam still is prosperous and will continue to be prosperous until the day of judgment. These trials and tribulations of many types, and history is full of these trials and tribulations. We can talk about Genghis Khan coming into the Muslim lands and destroying everything, killing thousands and hundreds and thousands of Muslims. We can talk about the Crusaders coming into the Muslim lands and killing the Muslims. But my respected brothers, the killing of the Muslims was not as destructive for Islam and the Muslims, because once they were killed, once they were oppressed upon, once they were put into jail, when they died, it is our belief that they will go to Jannah. Because they were oppressed, they were mazloom. These trials and tribulations were not as difficult and not as destructive as the trial and the tribulation of philosophical and mental aggression against Islam. Please understand what I am trying to say. Philosophy does not mean something which was invented in Greece. Philosophy means this, that a person, an individual or a group take a critical or take a rational approach to understanding the existence of this life, take a critical or systematic or rational approach to understanding the beliefs of religion. It questions the basis of religion. This is what philosophy is. It is not limited to time. Any person who has this critical mind, who has this critical ideology to question the basis of religion, this person will be called and will be named to have a philosophical mind. These challenges that Islam has faced throughout these centuries, if we take a look at the philosophical challenges that Islam had faced from the very beginning, we will realize that not only are these challenges the most destructive, the very first challenge that came in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a philosophical challenge. The kuffar of Makkah, they did not at first show aggression to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They did not physically try to oppress him. The first thing they said was what? They said, "Anna yuhyi hadhihi Allahu ba'da mawtiha." How will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recreate this after this has died? They took a rational approach to understanding the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They would say that man yuhyi al-idama wa hiya ramim. Who is going to recreate? How is Allah going to recreate these bones? Once they have perished, they have gone into the ground. Rationally, I cannot understand. I cannot comprehend how these bones, which have been rotted and they have become soil, how will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recreate this? This was the very first challenge that Islam has faced. The philosophical challenge, the rational challenge against the beliefs of Islam. How did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cure this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ يُحْيِيهَا الَّذِي أَنْشَأَهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةً. That say to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that same being who had created you in the first place will recreate you, and he is كَمَا بَدَأْنَا أَوَّلَ خَلْقٍ نُعِيدُهُ وَعَدَنَا عَلَيْنَا. How in the same way that we had created you in the beginning, we will recreate you. Very simple points. Rationally he did not explain. Understand and believe that in the way that I had created you in the beginning, I will recreate you, and I am capable to do this. I have the ability to do this. A philosophical answer was not given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this approach. He rather said to them that believe in the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look around you and see that Allah is the greatest. Look around the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and understand that I am one. and understand that this Nabi who has been given the mu'jiza of the Qur'an, such a thing that you know it has not come between you or amongst you ever before. Accept this Qur'an and accept what I am saying. This was the approach of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the Muslims and to make them understand. As I was saying, this is the most destructive trial that we have gone through throughout the centuries. Just to give a few examples, in the very beginning of the first century, a person came about named Jaham bin Safwan. He came about and he started to try to understand the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rationally. He ended up doing what? He ended up denying the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He could not comprehend the qualities that are mentioned in the Quran and the Hadith. He thought with his rational mind that I cannot understand the istiwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon his throne. I will not believe in this. And he went and he denied the istiwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon his throne. A group came after him, a little while after him, known as the Mu'tazila, whose whole approach to the deen was this, that we somehow rationally understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to say. We have to comprehend through our aql and our intellect why Allah has said this and why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this order. This was true philosophy. Philosophy comes from the Greek word philosophia, and that means the love of wisdom. That you want to pick out the wisdom. You want to know the wisdom. You want to be curious. You want to ask the question why. Why is this and why is this and why is this? Whatever aspect of Islam there is, they would want to ask why and why is this. If it was not comprehensible through their intellect, they would deny it. They ended up denying the adab of the qabr. They said that Allah has mentioned this in the Quran, my respected brothers, I am not talking about non-Muslims. I am not talking about non-Muslims, they are out of my context. I am talking to Muslims, as a Muslim, about Muslims. Please keep this in mind, that we are talking about ourselves here. That these were Muslims who had questioned the essence of the adab of the qabr. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how will He punish us in the grave? We cannot understand. They denied the punishment of the grave. This was the Mu'tazila. What made them do this? Why did they do this? This was the effect of their philosophical ideology and methodology that they adapted into the understanding of the principles of Islam. This is what it led them to deny clear proofs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and clear a hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned. My respected brothers, just to take ourselves into context today, Shaitan had made a promise. Shaitan had said, ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ, that, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will come to your creation from the right, from the left, from every side I will come to them and I will derail them from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will not let them connect to you. وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ, you will not find them to be grateful to you. Today we see in our lives, my respected brothers, over the past few centuries, how this philosophical ideology has set into the lives of Muslims, and how this philosophical ideology and methodology has not only harmed us, my respected brothers, it has crippled our beliefs in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is destroying the beliefs of our youth. It is destroying the beliefs of our elders. The internet added to this. And being a person being able to freely see whatever he wants, listen to whatever he wants, and bring into his life whatever he wants, this has given us, or has brought about upon us, the opportunity to always come up under this ideology, no matter where a person lives. This culture and this ideology is not limited to a certain area. It is spread far and wide. It is in the palm of our hand today. This is why suddenly and so slowly, throughout these few centuries, the Muslims have been made hollow from within. We see today that the Muslims would want to question every single thing about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They not only want to question the beliefs with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His being, they want to question the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rulings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. They want to know the wisdom behind that, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said this, why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given this order. Many women today, when they are given a divorce, they are not ready to perform the Islamic order of iddah, of staying in seclusion for a little while as commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. They say that we cannot believe in this. This is something that we should not be having to do. They deny this. We find people talking about the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas the ideology of the Muslims and the ideology of Islam was this, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the Sahaba, that your intellect cannot comprehend Allah. تَفَكَّرُوا فِي خَلْقِ اللَّهِ وَلَا تَفَكَّرُوا فِي اللَّهِ. Think about the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not think about the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you will not be able to understand this. A person had came to Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi and said to Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi that what is the istiwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He replied to that person, al-istiwa'u ma'lum. That istiwa is known. Allah has mentioned this in the Quran about Himself. It is known. It is there. وَكَيْفِيَتُهُ مَجْهُولَ. But how this istiwa is, it is majhul. We do not understand. وَالسُؤَالُ عَنْهُ bidah. And if a person was to question this, then this is a bidah. This person should not question this. وَأُرَاكَ صَاحِبَ bidatin. And I think that you, the person questioning about the style of istiwa, I think that you are a person of bidah. And Imam Malik rahmatullahi had this person taken out. A person came to Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and tried to take this rational approach with regards to the sifat and the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As soon as the Prophet Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu had heard him say this, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu reprimanded him and had him taken away from Medina. This was because they knew that a rational approach should not be taken to Islam. Why? Because a rational approach cannot be taken to Islam. Because our intellect is not of this level that we can come to understand the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not possible for us to understand the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our intellect is weak. Our intellect is limited. And the wahi and the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unlimited. We find so many people today that they are not only denying the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are making a mockery of them. So many people are going around making a mockery of the beard, making a mockery of many ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Will we be the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to us on the day of judgment, قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. That did you used to make fun of Allah and His Rasul and His ayat in the way that the people of Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam would make fun of Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam? He said to them, قَالَ إِن تَسْخَرُوا مِنَّا فَإِنَّا نَسْخَرُوا مِنْكُمْ كَمَا تَسْخَرُونَ. That if you are making fun of us today, if you are making fun of the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala today, then we will make fun of you tomorrow on the day of judgment when you will see the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of you. My respected brothers, we have to bring about in ourselves the ideology and the methodology of the sahaba. The zeal in ourselves to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To believe without a dalil. To believe without any rational approach. That we have belief in the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we do not question the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way, shape or form. This is why today, any person, if he was to act upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is assumed that this person is worthy of nothing. Allama Iqbal rahimahullah ta'ala has mentioned a great piece of poetry. He said, Jaake hote hain masjid mein saf aara to ghareeb. That if a person was to come to the masjid, then this person will be looked and seen upon that this person is strange. Zehmate roza jo karte hain gawara to ghareeb. If a person is fasting, then the person, the rational mind says that why should you have to fast for? This person is strange. Why does he fast for? Naam leta hai agar koi hamara to ghareeb. If someone takes the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of people, then this person is regarded to be strange. Parda rakhta hai agar koi tumhara to ghareeb. If someone shades themselves from you, then this person is recognized to be ghareeb. This person is recognized to be strange. This is the methodology that we are going through today, my respected brothers. We find ourselves that maybe or only if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself was to come back today and to show us the right path again, that he was to come and revive the Muslims again and make them understand that don't question the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bring into your lives and into your hearts that we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sami'na wa ata'na. This is our rule and this is our golden rule for our lives. A poet beautifully, he says that is raaz ko phir faash karaye ruh-e Muhammad. That this secret of Islam, let it only be that the Ruh of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he himself comes back and he revives this. He spreads this again to the people. Is ahad mein ab tera musalman kidhar jaye? In this time, where will this Muslim go? Where will this Muslim understand what he needs to do? My respected brothers, in such a treacherous time, at such a time where our iman is at stake, where our iman is being crippled from inside, what do we need to do? What has been done to make this happen? And where have we reached and why have we reached here? We have reached here because of our excessive trying to ask and trying to understand the why. Firstly, do not question the beliefs of Islam. Secondly, do not question the ahkam of Islam. This mentality which has come about in the awam and in the general public, that we are able to ask with regards to the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My respected brothers, if you wish to practice, then definitely ask. But if you wish to object, then never ask. If you wish, if your question is based upon objection, then you have no right to object. You have no right to object because you do not have enough knowledge of Islam to object. And what did, this is not me saying. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned a great point. He says in his Ihya Ulumuddin, he says, what should the common man do? He said, إِنَّمَا حَقُّ الْعَوَامِ أَن يُؤْمِنُوا وَيُسْلِمُوا وَيَشْتَغِلُوا بِعِبَادَتِهِمْ. That it is the duty of the common person that he believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He bows down to the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَشْتَغِلُوا بِمَعَاشِهِمْ وَعِبَادَتِهِمْ. And they stay busy with their ibadat. They stay busy with their work and their lives. This is their duty. This is what they should be doing. Why should a normal person not talk about the deen of Islam? He further mentions, he says himself that they should leave the deen and the knowledge of Islam for the ulama. وَيَتْرُكُ الْعِلْمَ لِلْعُلَمَا. Leave the ilm for the ulama. He further states, he says, فَالْعَامِّيُّ لَوْ يَزْنِي وَيَسْرِقُ خَيْرٌ لَهُ مِنْ أَن يَتَكَلَّمَ فِي الْعِلْمِ. That if a normal person, if a common man, it is better for him to do zina, it is better for him to steal, than for him to talk about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without the true knowledge. فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ تَكَلَّمَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ وَفِي اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ إِتْقَانٍ. That person who talks about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without true understanding of what he is saying, then this person, وَقَعَ فِي الْكُفْرِ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَدْرِي. He will fall into kufr from such an avenue that he will not even understand that I am falling into kufr. He will make fun, he will deem the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be low, through which he will be leaving the deen of Islam, and he will not even know that he is becoming a kafir. This is something the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had prophesied. He said that badiru bil amali fitanan, that start to do amal before such trials and tribulations will come. Kaqita'il laylil mudhlim, in the same way that the darkness of the night will be split into parts. Many trials and tribulations will come. يُصْبِحُ الرَّجُلُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا. He will wake up in the morning as a Muslim, and he will sleep at night as a kafir. How will he do this? He will do this because he will be talking about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the manner in that he should have not talked about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will be questioning the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will not be accepting the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the reason why. My respected brothers, it is a sorry state that we are in this day. That so, everywhere we go, we find this ideology and this mentality and this methodology. It is as if that there is no place in the world which is free from this type of ideology and from this fitna. But my respected brothers, we should never lose hope. Because وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهِ. People may plan, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also planned. وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of planners. No matter how much one will try to remove the nur of Islam from this world, no one will be able to remove the nur of Islam from this world. If the darkness of this ideology was to come into every single street, every single alleyway of the world, it will not be able to extinguish the fire and the nur of Islam, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised us that لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ يُرِيدُونَ أَن يُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ. They wish and they try to extinguish the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with their mouths. وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will complete His nur, even though the disbelieving people will not like this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make sure that this nur will enter into the lives of the Muslims. But what should we as Muslims do, my brothers? What should we do? We need to connect ourselves to the ulama. We need to follow the same way the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum followed. That is why Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi has said, لَا يَسْلُهُ آخِرُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ إِلَّا بِمَا صَلُهَ عَلَيْهِ أَوَّلُهَا. That the end of this ummah, the latter part of this ummah, will only succeed in the same manner as the first part of this ummah had succeeded. Look at the lives of the Sahaba. What did they do? They did not question. What did they do? They followed the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did they do? They followed the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at all times, in times of trials and tribulations, in times of peace and harmony. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said to them that فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ بَعْدِي فَسَيَرَى إِخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. That O my Sahaba, whosoever will live from you after me, you will see much difference of opinion, much difference between the people. What should you do at that time? عَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِينَ. Hold on fast to my sunnah and hold on fast to the sunnah of the Khulafa'i Rashideen. أَدُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِذِ. hold fast onto it with your molar teeth. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man tamassaka bi sunnati inda fasadi ummati falahu ajru mi'ati shahid." Whosoever will hold on fast to my sunnah. Sunnah doesn't mean here a small sunnah like the sunnah of miswak. Sunnah means the whole ideology of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the whole lifestyle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then this person, at the time when my ummah is in treachery, then this person will be given the reward of 100 shaheed. How will we hold fast to the sunnah? Hold fast to the sunnah by holding on to the God-fearing ulama. Find the God-fearing ulama, not those who will show you hiyal, not those who will show you leeways, not those who will show you what you wish for and what you desire for. Hold fast to those ulama who are going to guide you to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes from you. Find the God-fearing ulama in the same way that the bad ulama of the past had destroyed Islam by helping those people who had created fitna, philosophical fitnas. In the same way, you will in this day and age also find ulama who will not guide you, they will misguide you. It is your duty as a person that you look for the right person. You look for the God-fearing person. Do not look for that person who will fulfill your fancy and your whim. Look for that person who you know for a fact that will show you to the and guide you towards what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes from you. Do not be a fatwa shopper. Do not be a person who wishes to gain whatever he wishes for. Rather, be someone who wishes to gain what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes from that person. Go to the right ulama, ask them, and go to them who will cure your hearts and bring you towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will finish with a couplet that we all wish, that we be very high in Islam. We all wish that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us His beloved. We all wish this. Allama Iqbal, he says that, chahte sab hain ke ho oje thuraiya pe muqeem. Everyone wishes that we be as high as the stars. Everyone wishes that we be as high as the stars. Pehle waisa koi paida to kare kalbe salim. But before that, at least try to bring into your life that type of heart that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala also had. You will make this heart. How? You will make this heart by going to the God-fearing ulama, by going to the mashayikh, by learning the sunnah from them and practicing upon this sunnah. And we know that this is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ki Muhammad se wafa tune to hum tere hain. Ye jahan cheez hai kya? Loho qalam tere hain. If you are following in the true manner the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we are yours. This world is nothing. Loha Qalam, the tablet and the secret tablet will be yours also. This is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we need to do today, my respected brothers. I leave you with this, that my respected brothers and elders, for Allah's sake, have fear with regards to the knowledge of Islam. Do not question with your mere and meager intellect the great and ununderstandable wisdoms of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. من قال في القرآن برأيه فليتبوى مقعده من النار من كذب علي متعمدا فليتبوى مقعده من النار. Whosoever will speak with his opinion with regards to the Quran, he should make his place in the hellfire. Whosoever lies about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he should make his place in the hellfire. Be very careful, my respected brothers. Have precautiousness in your lives and connect with the God-fearing ulama, those who are God-fearing and those who have the sunnah in their lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability to practice upon whatever has been said.